Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. But I'm in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Who would agree with me? There's never been a time like this on planet Earth. We're seeing things we never thought we'd see. People are confused about a lot of things. They believe a lie, according to Paul in Thessalonians. They believe a lie and they damn themselves. And I believe that's being set up even as we speak. But it's good to be saved. Good to know it today. One of these days I'm headed to heaven. Praise God, nobody can do anything about that. I'm going to glory, and that makes the devil mad, but I'm glad. And he missed this one. But in saying that, though he missed this one, he can cause me a lot of grief. He causes a lot of grief. And I want to preach this morning before I read my text. It's very short, my one verse. I want to preach this morning on no place for the devil. No place for the devil. Ephesians 4 and verse 27, one little verse here. This is quick. Six words. Neither give place to the devil. Father, I love you. I thank you for this day, this time, this place, those that have come out today, Lord. I'm thankful for the peace of God, and that one day, as Sister Bonnie sang, we will sweep through the gate. But Lord, in between now and then, there's some difficult days. It's a land of hills and valleys. We have trouble and trials in this world. We're under persecution because of our beliefs. I pray that you would fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me with accuracy inside the bounds of this holy writ. And I pray, God, if the lost one here today, you'd save. The Christian, you would encourage. God, those that have grown cold and indifferent, you would revive and rekindle once again. I thank you, Lord, what a privilege it is to stand behind this desk. You give me strength. You've given me health to do it. God, one of these days, in my old age, I'll look back and I'll remember the days God let me stand. And I'll thank you for it. Now, God, if you'd save somebody today, this would be a special blessing. So use us, Lord, this piece of flesh one more time for your honor and glory. I ask it in my King's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ephesians, one of my favorite books. I've got scratches and notes all over the place. My old Bible, preaching Bible, is marked all over. You can't hardly read it for the writings and notes in this book. It's the book. Paul wrote this book when he was in the jail, in the pen. So this is a prison epistle or letter that he sent out. He sends these things. He starts it off. I want to outline the book quickly. I can do it quickly. I promise you I can. It's six precious chapters in this letter that Paul's writing to the Ephesians. Some think this letter was written to the Laodiceans as well. I'll not get into that, but it's a good study if you want to search it out. But it's written, and I think it's for us today. I think this book is timeless. God looked from eternity into eternity, and somewhere in between those two things, he gave us a book. Now that's above my pay grade, but I'm just going to tell you, he's eternal God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you can't change him, and he won't change for nobody. Look, he wrote the book. He said, here it is. It's not let's make a deal. He said, here's the deal. You can either get in or suffer the consequences. That's the way it is. As we tried to outline this book, just quick things. Chapter number one will show you the position of the believer. We're accepted in the beloved. Chapter number two will show you the path of the believer. We were dead in sins and we're saved by grace. We all started out on the same plane, all lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. Listen, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone had turned to his own way. All all because of the fall of Adam, all. And death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But praise God, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He gave us the path of salvation. Then we see in chapter 3, we see previous mysteries revealed. This is one of my favorite chapters. Some that say they're not a dispensationalist must tear this chapter out of the book. Paul said these are some things they didn't know about before, but I'm telling you about them now. Where did Paul learn these things? From the mouth of God, to the hand of Paul, to the pen on the page, to Mike McCoy in 2024. Aren't you glad he showed us some things we didn't understand? The Jews didn't understand it. The Romans didn't understand it. Hey, they didn't understand it through the ages. Paul wrote it down so we could understand it. There is different dispensations, and I'm glad for grace. It's previous things revealed. Listen, chapter number 4, what I'm going to talk about a little bit today is the perfecting of believers. He said one verse in this chapter, he said, renewed in your mind, renewed in your mind. It's for the perfecting. He gave us evangelists, preachers, teachers. These are all for the perfecting of the saints. Listen, I'm not saying we reach that place where we don't make mistakes, where we don't have trouble, where we don't hurt other people. But I'm saying this, according to the scripture, he's given us some things that will be better tomorrow than we are today. Then we see in chapter 4, the perfecting of believers and by renewing minds, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what a renewed mind does, perfect will of God. Then we come to chapter number 5. We see this, the proving of the believer. How do we prove that we are believers? He said, we walk in love. Here's how they know that you're one of my disciples, that you have love one for another. That's what proves it to the world out there. So therefore, when the brother hurts you, you don't say anything to the world about it. You don't say anything to the congregation about it. He would have us love and go on and just tell him about it, and he already knows. We see the proving of the believer. Then in chapter 6, one of the all-time chapters, Randy started this last Sunday night with against. Great, great thought. It's not going to sound to anything like that when you hear me preach it. In other words, I'm going to take his thought and use it. If God gave it to him, he gave it to us, I give it to somebody else. This boy in Kentucky called me one day and said, hey, I've just heard a message you preached. He said, and it stirred my soul. Do you care if I preach it? I said, son, you can take it. It don't belong to me. Help yourself. But we see this. Then Kenny Lane come and said, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's a great message. That's what we all need to do. We do that. How do we do that? That proves, that's proving of the believer. But chapter 6 says this. Both of those kind of set me up today. Power of the believer. Chapter 6, he said, be strong in the A plus. Be strong in the Lord. You know what that says, Randall? That says we don't have any strength in ourselves. In ourselves. Listen, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is our problem. Now, with that quick outline of the book, I want to concentrate for just a little bit on this thought, no place for the devil. Neither give place to the devil. The verse prior to that, he said, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither do this. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed mad. Confess it to God, whatever that sin of the day was. Paul said he died daily. I think that was a good example for us. That means wife, if you've burnt the biscuits and meant to, there ought to be a little apologizing there and going on. But men, that means, look here, that means If you've done, you've stayed out, you've done whatever you want, you said one thing, you done another, you wasn't listening. Pat told me the other day, said, you didn't hear a word I said. I said, no, I didn't. I did not hear you. I've been talking for 10 minutes. I said, was I looking at you? No, but you should have been. Because if I'm not looking, I'm not listening. That's just how it is. Get used to that, girls. Hey, girls, I'm trying to help you today. But don't go bed. Look here, guys. Don't get all bent out of shape about it. Don't go bed. Look here. Be ye angry, sin not. That means you can be angry and not sin. But that sin isn't what he's really talking about. That he's talking about, there is sin that is righteous indignation. So you can have that and not sin. Where do I see that? I see that in Jesus whipping the time out of them in the temple. So, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to sleep with it. Here we have these things. And then he says, neither, after that, but also neither, don't do it. That word neither means absolutely not. You go down to the root word, you're going to find that in Greek, and it says, absolutely, don't do it. What? Give place to the devil. But I'm saved to the uttermost. Do you know who he's writing this letter to? It's not to the lost people. He's sending it to the church. Why would he tell the church, hey, don't give the devil no place? You know why he'd tell them that? Because they're going to do it. They're going to give place to the devil. Say, I've never done that, preacher. Oh, yes, you have. If you've been saved longer than 10 minutes, you've done it. And I wonder, sometimes you get up off the altar, you've done it before you get back to the seat. I'm going to help you right here. I'm going to give you three things real quick. And one is this. Number one is this. No place to the devil. Don't give a place. Look here. A devil wants the place in your heart. Now stay with me. So I gave my heart to Jesus. He can't have that. Stay with me. Stay with me. By the renewing, what did I say? That this was the perfecting. And in chapter 4 of believers was by renewing of the mind. Listen, the mind is susceptible to change. And when you see heart there, it's not talking about the organ. That's figurative language. That's meaning the most interior part of you. What do you think your soul is? He saved my soul. My body's a wreck, but my soul is saved to the uttermost, praise God. I believe that. But look here. I can have heart problems and be saved to the uttermost. You can get with me or it's going to be a long day. The heart is speaking to the mind, not the organ. So when you find that in the Word of God, it's speaking to the innermost man, the understanding. We come to a saving knowledge. Are you with me? Therefore, we say the heart has changed. The heart has changed you. So look, I'm going to prove it with a couple of scriptures. In Matthew 16:23, Jesus has just told him, Peter has just announced, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus expounds to them that he's going to Jerusalem to die. And the third day, he's going to rise up. And Peter said, not so. Peter comes to him and said, no. Let me put it in modern day vernacular. Ain't happening. Not going to do it. Jesus looks at him and he says, get behind me, Satan. Thou art a great offense to me. You love the things of men. You're thinking in the flesh. I'm going to Jerusalem and die. The devil doesn't want that. Well, he did. He thought he won the war, but he really messed up bad. But he said, get behind me, Satan. I want you with me today. Peter's just confessed he's the Christ. Peter's walking with him. Peter's been in the boat. Peter's seen the 5,000 fed. He's going to see John get up out of the grave. Look, look here. Peter's, he's the man. Look, get behind me, Satan. He calls him Satan. Why is that? He is being influenced by the devil. Where does he do that? In your head. He influences people in their mind. That is the thing. Here's what it is. Here, watch this. Watch this. So you text somebody and they don't respond. And after by the end of the day, they're mad at me. They put something on Facebook and expect the entire world to see it. And I don't look at Facebook every day. Well, I put it on Facebook. Well, Junior, I don't know what that is. Sidebar, it's a great tool. It is one of the great advertising venues that we have as a church. We put stuff on that and folks see it all over the world. I can't do that by telling them up here at 105 to put it on the air and everybody get that. But they put it on there. You don't respond. You don't give them a like. You don't wish them a happy birthday. You don't even know it is their birthday. And they must be mad at me. Given a place. Kelly Lewis said of Mike Blanton, the first time she met Mike, she said, "That's the most stuck-up man I ever seen in my life. He come into the sanctuary. He's about to preach in Florida. He's looking straight ahead. He goes straight to where he's sitting down. She's trying to talk to him. He's not listening to her. She talks all the time. God bless Gary Lewis. I'd say that if she was sitting right there in that chair. And she said, "That guy stuck up." I said, "You don't understand what pressure he's under. He's about to preach in one of the largest Free Will Baptist movements of the year, and you're wanting to talk to him about something that don't make any, it doesn't matter a hill of beans." So don't think somebody's mad. Listen, if I'm mad at you, you're going to know it. I'm going to come tell you, you have smoked me. So other than that, don't worry about if I'm mad or not. I may not told you. I may not text you. I might miss that you're in the hospital unless you let us know. I can't read minds. I don't know these things. But look here, I won't do it on purpose. Is anybody with me today? Peter, you're acting just like Satan. Get behind me. And he learned. Took him a little while, but he learned. Then we have another. Then we have another. And I read this every time we have a communion and foot washing service. I know that scares some people out of their mind, but it used to be common practice on the mountain. Everybody's got away from it. We got too prideful. We're too proud. Too proud. That's just how it is. John 13:2, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Now, let's go somewhere right here. When Peter is used of the devil, Peter is not saved. Okay. When the devil enters, puts into the heart of Judas, Judas is not saved. No one's saved till after when? The resurrection. After the resurrection, you can be born again. The law has been fulfilled. Up to that point, it's all law. They're under the law. Judas doesn't have the Holy Ghost indwelling him, and so therefore, he is an open target. May I say to you, lost friend, if you're here today, you are an open sepulcher to the devil if you're unsaved. And he's having your way with you, and you don't even know it. The heart is the place the devil wants. I'll tell a story real quick. There's a boy named Felipe. He was in California. He was a migrant worker. Felipe's in California. He's working on his farm. He catches the eye. He's a muscular young man, healthy, strong, good-looking boy. He catches the eye of the rancher's daughter. She comes And of course, Felipe just falls madly in love. She's not madly in love. It's just another toy for her. Felipe, she's done with him in a short period of time. This guy can't get over it. He's in love. So when it kicks on there, and Felipe hears, after she's kicked him to the curb, he hears this: hey, she's got a bad heart and she's gonna die. Said the only way this girl can live is if she gets a new heart. Felipe, young and strong, walks in his house and told his mama, said, I'm going to die, and when I do, give her my heart. His mama looked at him and said, well, you're not going to die. You're healthy as a horse. I wonder who said that. But not all horses are healthy. No. Heard that all my life. I've seen some sick horses. Maybe that's a poor analogy. You're very healthy. You're not going to, he said, I'm going to die, and when I do, give her my heart. I'm telling you, they said he walked into his house a week or so later, bang, aneurysm, take him to the hospital, brain dead, can't do a thing. You know what they do? They asked his mama, said, will he, how about being an organ donor? She said, yeah, let's do it. You know what they done? Took his heart, made his organs. You know what they done? Cross-typed him. You know who was an exact match? The girl. You know what happened? She had the surgery, and when she woke up, you know what she told him? She said, I've got Felipe's heart, don't I? And said, they all started crying and said, yeah, you do. They said when they buried that migrant worker, said they was backed up for miles in the funeral procession. They lined the streets on the side of the road, waving flags and calling his name. You know what he done? He gave his heart to somebody. You know why? Because they had a problem. You know what'll keep the devil from getting in your heart and in your mind? You get the mind of Christ in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That's what he done. Why did he do that? So I don't have to give a place to the devil. There's no place in your heart for him. There's no place. There's no place for the devil in the house of God. Here, listen to this. Matthew 12 and 4. Here's what it says about Jesus. How he entered. Now this is Jesus speaking about David. How he entered into the house of God. Now David, let's go back to old Bible for just a minute. David in 1 Samuel about chapter 21. David goes in. There's a problem. He's running from Saul. He's got problems. The devil's on his trail. So where does he go to get something to eat? He goes to the house of God. He not only gets bread, this is important. He not only gets bread there, but he gets a sword. Yes. You know what that says to me? That says this is not only the place I come to eat, but it's the place I come for my defense. It's the thing I need to show me what I need to do, that the devil can't have no place in here. So don't you be the one that comes in and brings him in with you. How do I know that? I do that if I treat Gordon wrong. Well, what about if it's not Gordon? He's a Sunday school teacher, bass player. What if I treat, what, where's Buddy? You in the wrong place, huh? What if I treat Buddy Vols wrong? Buddy's not been here near as long as Gordon. How about I just, if I get aggravated, how about I just chew this guy out? No. No. You know what that does? Well, I'm preaching good right now for it to be so quiet. You know what that does? That gives the devil a place in the house of God. David, when he went in, though he was in trouble and the devil's after him, he said, give me the holy bread. You know what I'm doing? Right now, I'm offering this, the bread of life. But it's not only the bread, it's the sword. Have you got a weapon? I got Goliath's sword. That'll do. Give me that one. Now I'm full, and I got the sword, and the devil better stay away. He got no place here. But it doesn't end there. We see that example out of Samuel about him trying to get into the house of God. Randall Farner, and I have to use your last name because we've got 15 Randalls in here. Great job yesterday. You know, the word that I keyed in on was delay. Just delay. James 4 and 7. Some of you knew I was going there. Submit yourselves unto the Lord. Submit. That means to obey. Submit yourselves unto the Lord and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. How do you do that? The sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith, the armor of God, also in this letter. Can I resist the devil? I wish I'd resisted him more. Some of you will hear him today at invitation time. He'll say, don't go forward. You make a fool of yourself. Kerry Hall, have you ever regretted coming forward and calling on the Lord and him saving you? No. And she can't see. And she come forward. Not a regret. The devil will tell you, just delay it. You need to do it, but just don't do it today. You got something wrong in your heart. You know you've got something wrong. You got an alt against somebody in this building. You're giving place to the devil. It's time to kick him to the curb. Hey, come out swinging, praise God, and say, I'm against that. We can have revival if that happens. I'm not going to do it, Mike. I tell you what you will do. You'll answer to God for it. You won't answer to me. You won't even answer to the one you got an ought against. But you'll answer to him. I heard the preacher preaching. I'm trying to wind down. I heard the preacher preaching. He said this. He said, I was pastoring a church. I'd been to about two or three different hospitals that day. I'd answered the phone I don't know how many times. He said, I got home. My wife had supper ready. And he said, I just got my wet raincoat off. And I'd kicked my shoes off. He said, I'd sat down to my table and I was about to partake in that wonderful supper my wife had prepared me. And he said, my phone rang again and said, my heart said, don't answer it. He said, I looked at the number and then it really said, don't answer it. He said, I sat there for a minute and I tried to take a bite and he said the food wouldn't go down. He said, I hit redial. I called the number. He said, you don't understand. He said, this is that sheep that has done nothing but cause me trouble. They cause me trouble in the church. They cause me trouble outside the church. They cause me trouble in their family. They cause me trouble in my own family. And now my phone's ringing and I'm wore out. And what am I going to do? And they answer the phone. He said, what can I do for you?
Love.
They started off on this big tangent and said, I got to have you over here right now. I got to have you here right now. He said, I pushed my supper away, hung up my phone, put my shoes back on, put on my old raincoat. He said, I started down the road to their house. Now, this ain't the blue ribbon sheep. This is the one that causes him all the trouble. He said, I pulled in the driveway, and he said, the Holy Ghost says, this is what Jesus does for you. See, the truth is there's not a spotless lamb in this building today. If there was, he wouldn't have had to come. The truth is that, hey, we all need that same grace that's been given to us. Now, not everybody's called to be the shepherd, and you'll be glad you're not. But praise God to those of us that are. We've got to do this. We've got to go to the spotted ones just like he comes to us. You know what that does? That don't give him no place in the house of God. There's one more and I'm done. Don't give the devil a place in your heart. There's no place for the devil in our heart, in our mind, and how we think and what we do. Have we give place to the devil? Yes. Are we sorry about it? Yes. What are we going to do about it? Ask him, forgive us, and go up. Get up, go on. Forgetting those things which are behind to those which are before. The house of God's no place for the devil. Devil can't handle love. He can battle with a lot of things, but love is something he doesn't understand. And it train wrecks him every time. When the devil comes up against love, it's a train wreck. Can't handle it. Can't negotiate. Don't understand. Can't comprehend. And then there's one more, and I'm going to be quick on this. But there's no place for the devil. One day, it's not now, but one day in heaven above. In Luke 18 and 10, or 10 and 18, I reverse that every time. In Luke 10 and 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He saw him. He witnessed that. He saw the fall of Satan. Does that mean that Satan didn't have access? Do you know the word devil means accuser? It means accuser. So therefore, and then we see in Revelation 12, about verse number 9, we see where the devil and he's fought and he's lost and he's kicked out. And then we see in verse 10, I think it is, where they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. So that has to be after resurrection for them to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood was shed at Calvary. So that has to be post-resurrection. Don't tell me it was just the Jews in the Old Testament. It has to be because they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. What are they overcoming? The accusations. Devil means accuser, slanderer. So he comes and he makes accusation against us to the Father. Here's what one guy said. He said, don't give the devil the right to accuse you. In other words, when he accuses you before the Lord, don't let it be true. Don't let it be true. Let it be a false accusation. Why is that so good, preacher? Because in Revelation 10, 20 and 10, we see the devil cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. We see them there. We see the Antichrist and the false prophet there. They was there a thousand years ago. They're still alive and they're still there, and the devil shall be. He's not there yet. The devil's not in hell today. All these people say, oh, the devil in hell. He's not in hell. No, he's in church most of the time. He's not in hell. Why would he not go to the bar stool? He don't have to. He already got them. Who's he want to train wreck? Who's he want to injure? Who does he want to hurt? Whose family does he want to destroy? What does he want to do? He wants to make a mockery of Christianity and do anything he can to injure the body of Christ. That's his objective. He's lost my soul, but boy, he can give my body a hard time. But we see him cast. Everybody knows we got, so they can send me a video of our one grandson, Colin Boy, and I'll watch it 20 times. I just like to watch it. I just hit replay. God, just over and over. If I've got that available to me now, I just think somehow I'm going to get to do that with the devil when they cast him into the fire. I believe I'll watch that again. Boom. What happens over and over and over? I'm going to watch him cast in there. In my mind, I'm thinking this at least 100 times. Because when he's cast that final time, he's not coming back. You know what? There's no place for him in heaven. You know what's sad? You know what's sad? There's some people in this building today that you don't have a place in heaven right now. How much more has God got to do to get you to heaven than come and put on flesh and die, pay your sin debt, that you could be in heaven forever with him, with no devil and no trouble? You won't have to worry about him being in your heart. Won't have to worry about him being at church. Won't have to worry about him being around you. Cause you no trouble. Why in the world would you choose cast into a lake of fire instead of going to glory? I don't understand it. It's obviously this. You don't believe that book's true. He could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. I watched this yesterday, made me cry. This girl got on there, beautiful girl. Some of you may have seen her on social media. She's talked about being raised in the church. Play me something soft, friend. She's talked about being raised in the church. Her daddy's a pastor. She said, I've done all that stuff. She said, I went to Sunday school. I went to VBS. I grew up. She said, when I got out and on my own, I went to a Christian college and I was going to work somewhere in ministry. And she said, I got to praying and praying and seeking in that Bible. She said, the more I saw it, the more I seen it wasn't true. She said, so therefore, I realized all them prayers, all that work, all them years was for nothing. She's probably 26, 7 years old. Roland, I thought, that's the saddest thing I ever heard. Because obviously, you've never tasted the Jesus that I have. You've never been so down that you couldn't get yourself up, and somehow, miraculously, he comes by and lifts you up out of that place. You've never pillowed your head wondering what the next day brings and have that, like Michael sang about, sweet peace whispered to your soul, knowing it's going to be all right. How do you know? I just know. Surely, she's never, you know what I thought? She's not a believer. She was a make-believer. You might be one of them here today, been in this church a lot. You've heard a lot of invitations given, but you never moved. You may be here and you know you're lost. You may be here and you know there's something between you and God that's just not right. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm saying there's something between you and God that's not what it ought to be. There's something between you and somebody else that's not what it ought to be. Fix it while you can. Scotty. I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Come and sing me that song right there, Randall. Sing that Power and Blood. Elders, come. We're going to anoint Scotty's gun. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.